This podcast contains graphic descriptions of violent crimes, including murder, assault, and details of human suffering that may be disturbing to some listeners. If you or someone you know is struggling with these issues, please reach out to a trusted professional or crisis hotline for support. The following story is true. Please proceed with caution. Hello, this is Mark, and you are listening to The Wife is Guilty podcast. I'm on with my co-host, Amy. How are you, Amy?
I'm great. How are you, Mark?
Doing great.
Excellent.
I'm ready for a little bit of, we're recording this on a Sunday, and on Sundays, not so much lately, but in the past, I'll make like a big dinner and, you know, kind of like, you know, a crock pot type thing, or I'll make something where it's an all day type of thing. And I'm always kind of looking for something unique to cook. And that brings us to our case today. What are we talking about today?
We are talking about Catherine Mary Knight. She is from Aberdeen, New South Wales, mm-hmm. in Australia. And she has been called Australia's female Hannibal Lecter.
For good reason.
For very good reason.
This woman is, for one, she looks a little bit rough.
Right. She definitely looks a lot different than I pictured her to be.
Yeah.
But yeah. And like for what she kind of did for work, like, and.
Yeah.
You know, that she wanted to do it so early in her life is. It's a little concerning.
So one of the people who I have. I do a lot of development work, like website and application type of stuff. And one of the people I work very closely with is out of Australia. And mm-hmm. She's younger. She's like 25, though. And I brought up this case to her, and she's like, I never heard about it. She's like, I'll ask my mom. And I'm like, I'm probably older than your mom. But but it's kind of like, you know, there are cases that come out of Australia that are bananas.
Right.
The Snowtown case, which is close to my heart primarily because it was the last big case that I did with
Laura
Crook before she passed away on Unsolved Mysteries Rewind. And we did a really in-depth jump into that. And it was scary because, for one, the case itself is extremely scary. Mm-hmm. But it's also, the people are still alive, like the criminals.
Yep.
And Laura had a connection to them, kind of.
Oh, God.
So we brought in, like, I had conversations with people associated with her. Like, her mother worked with somebody who directly worked with one of the criminals. And it was a little close to home because these people are insane. And I don't believe they got life sentences. I think that they'll be let out at some point because Australia is extremely unreasonable. I'm going to say, unreasonable. Yeah.
Definitely. Because after everything this woman did, mm-hmm. She was the first woman in Australia to be sentenced to life without parole.
Yeah. They don't have the death penalty there.
Nope.
Which, I'm not going to judge anybody or any nation for having or not having something, but this person is really out there. So Catherine Knight, but if people are interested, they can head on over to Unsolved Mysteries Rewind. I want to revisit that case in the future. Maybe you have an interest in it and we can dive condense into one episode because it's just too long. It's a lot to discuss and, it's just a lot. So let's see. She was born in Australia. She was one of a twin set.
She was, yeah. She was the younger of the two.
Do we know anything about the other twin?
I
don't know. I mean, there's
not really.
Imagine like they're like identical in terms of, you know, like really not being able to be told apart. And it's like she's constantly being like hassled.
Right. That's great. Because they are identical twins. Yeah.
She grew up, of course, in an extremely dysfunctional family environment. Yeah, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it reminded me of Betty Lou Beats for sure, only like way worse.
She has a reputation for being a really aggressive and unhinged bully, even when she was a kid.
Yeah.
Which is really a trait that happens when a family environment is as painful, right?
Right. Yep.
Now, this is where things get a little bit more interesting, because she left school at 15.
She did. And she had no literacy skills, which confused me. I will admit I do not know a lot about like the inner workings of Australia at all. But, you know, at 15, I was a sophomore in high school, and I could read since I was 4.
Yeah, but you know, today in 2026, you can go to these areas of the country, and you know, people could say whatever they say. They're not even, you know, like we have Spanish speakers who are not being taught English. We have literate people who are literally older than this, and their literacy skills are that of like a third grader. It's really, really bad. Oddly enough, in these areas where there seems to be more of this corruption that's coming out recently, like, oh, we don't have any money for our schools. It's like, really? Because like you're spending a lot of money on childcare, like a percentage of our nation's budget. So I think that this is like a No Child Left Behind type situation where they just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And I think it's extremely unfair to the children and to these kids. Even today in 26, there's no excuse. I think that's kind of what you're alleging. There's no excuse in modern world where, in the 20th century even, where somebody should not know at least the very basics of reading and writing and basic math comprehension.
Right. And, you know, we learned that stuff in like elementary school, you know, like I was taught cursive when we were in second grade.
Yeah.
We had to write completely in cursive by fourth grade. Like,
but they still like, all right. So this is going to be like, well, Mark, you're obviously in a privileged school district, and I am, because that's where I bought my house, you know, specifically, but my kid, he was taught cursive in second grade. Like it's totally part of the curriculum, public school. Yeah. So I don't buy into they don't teach that. I think that in today's world, they have to decide, can this group of kids handle it? And when kids are not, they can't even, kids, you know, adults too, they can't even use the correct tense and usage of you are and your.
Oh my God.
And instead they're writing the letter U and R. It's very difficult to start teaching them the fine details of cursive. So I think you have to pick your battles with what these kids can even perceive. I don't think it's fair to the kids, because I believe that most kids, unless there's something wrong with them, like in terms of like a disability, they can learn anything put in front of them. And it's really the teachers that have let them down. It's not the kids. You know, I don't blame
the kids. Oh, it's definitely not the kids. And I don't blame the kids either at all.
I also point my finger very waggingly, very critically. And this is only to probably about 50% of them, though, of homeschoolers, because I feel as though that's where also a lot of stuff is cracking. Like you're letting it go. And but I also know people who are homeschooled who are really smart. So,
yeah,
it depends on the parent.
Yeah. And the school system, because I know that like if you want to do the homeschool thing, at least here, you know, you have to get like the curriculum and stuff from the school system, and they like check in and stuff like that. But that's not to say that you can't teach them more than that, you know, if they're going through it really fast. Because, you know, school is difficult sometimes for really, really intelligent kids. They get bored and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and that's between like, I would say 8th and 11th grade is like where you find these kids who are like, you know, they, they're like, oh, wait, this kid's really good at math and blah, blah, blah. Let's keep pushing him, pushing him, pushing him. And then they hit the brick wall sometimes in like 11th grade. And they're like, holy crap, this isn't as easy as I remember it. And I feel as though you got to just calm down.
Yeah.
It's what I told my son. My son is far brighter than I ever expected to be or hope to be. And he, you know, he's in all AP classes right now. He's saving it. He's going to save a ton of money when he goes to college. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's the way to go. And I could not achieve that. You know, I know that.
Same.
Like, at his age. Yeah. Kids are very bright now. I mean, I'm sure you look at your son, you're like, holy crap. Like,
he's like, super bright. He just doesn't apply himself. Mm. And in school, I had ADHD, but it wasn't diagnosed until I was in my 20s. So high school was super hard for me. I had literally made the honor roll every, you know, semester or term or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I hit high school and it was just like, you know, you really needed to pay attention. Yeah.
Or it gets harder. You know what I mean? And plus you have other things in your mind, your boys in your mind, right? It's like, not
to say that. Had Nintendo in my mind.
There you go. Yeah, well, Mario then. Or as my son would go, it's Mario. Well, I don't know. Is it Mario or Mario?
I've always said Mario.
I say Mario.
A lot of people say Mario.
If you're listening right now, is it Mario or Mario?
Mario.
What was your first job, Amy? And this is not one of those kind of like, you know, I'm going to try to steal your identity type things.
I worked at this sort of high-end restaurant called the Stone Forge.
Mm. Is it still around?
Oh, yeah. We actually, when I worked there, we entered into the Chowder Fest.
Chowder.
Yep.
Water on the table.
And
you got a bread bowl.
It was at the Newport Yachting Center. And, I love chowder. Me too. And we won first place in the creative category.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
My first job was Blockbuster Video. Which I'm sure.
Oh, I think you told me that. Yeah.
And I loved my first job. You probably loved your first job, right?
I really didn't because my boss was a bitch, but whatever.
Did you like the idea of the independence?
I did. Yeah.
And, like, and getting some money.
Indeed. Yes.
So. Catherine Knight's first job. I'm presuming it's her first job. She at 15, she left school.
Yeah.
And she began working at a slaughterhouse.
Well, here's the thing.
You got to pay the bills.
She applied the first time, did not make it, like didn't get the job. After that, she would start hanging out at the pub with the guys from the slaughterhouse. And she would tell the bartender, like, you know, just give me lemonade. Don't, you know, don't act like I'm not drinking. And she would be like, as she was one of the guys. So she applied again and all the guys vouched for her.
That's interesting.
It is.
She was kind of like a slaughterhouse groupie.
She was, yes. And when she started, man, she excelled. Her father worked at the same slaughterhouse and she almost took his job. Because he had the highest, like, you know, the highest level job.
No, I don't know if you know anybody who is a butcher or a chef, but they do take pride in this. I mean, and they should.
Oh, they absolutely do.
Yeah, and they take pride in their knives. They, you know, and when they talk about it, they get really excited about it. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm envious of that. I think, you know, people knowing how to, like, properly sharpen these very, like, these beautiful knives and being able to, like, debone an animal. And I have a friend who's a hunter. And he, you know, he'll do the deer, but he, you know, his family's still alive. And as far as I know, he's not eating human flesh.
That's good.
But I might put him on the list. No, I wouldn't put him on the list. But yeah, like, people, they take a lot of pride in their tools and their trade.
I definitely do. Mm. I cook a lot. Like, I'm not, you know, like chef worthy.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you know, are, you know.
I could be, but, you know, I
spend, you put a little pink salt in there, it's chef worthy.
Yeah. I, you know, I make sure, like, I will sit there and sharpen my knives.
Right.
And, you know, before I start to, like, you know, cook and stuff. And it's just so much easier. Like, when your knife sucks, mm-hmm. it's just so much harder.
I used, like, so I have a set of nice knives, and I used to sharpen. I used to do this thing. And now I'm just, I don't have the patience for it. We actually have an old school guy who drives around in this like rusty sharpening. That's so dope. Thing. Yeah, it's like the ice cream man. And
I would love if that were a thing here.
It might be, believe it or not. I mean, you call up the number, he comes by in his truck, you bring out your knives, and he comes back in a half hour.
Cause like I have a beautiful set of knives that I got when I got married. Mm-hmm. And that was like almost 20 years ago. And like these knives are still in tip top shape. I love them. Like I've looked for, you know, similar knives. Like I don't like, I like the piece to be kind of all one piece. I don't like a blade that like the tang kind of goes into a separate holder. Mm-hmm. Because there have been so many times where like I've been trying to cut something, honestly, like a block of cheese, and the freaking knife will come out of the handle. Mm. And it's just, it's annoying, and that shouldn't happen. So I like my knives to be just made of all one piece of metal.
I'm sending you a picture of what the grinding truck is, or the grinding shop, I think is what he calls it. And you just call him up.
Oh my God, that's
and
he too comes. Cute.
It's an old ice cream truck from like probably the 60s or something.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and you know, it's very reasonable. And I bet you have something that.
I think you're right, because when I was in cosmetology school, I've done a lot. And I still like, you know, cut hair. I do my own hair and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And there is a guy who will, you know, you call him and he comes and sharpens your shears.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm sure
a pair of scissors. I think it's a pair of scissors. Mm-hmm. They can be expensive. You know, like sometimes, you know, everybody buys their scissors from like Dollar Tree or something like that. I mean, that's great for paper and stuff. But yeah, I have scissors that are older. When I bought this house, there were a ton of like garden tools that needed to be sharpened. I gave it all to the guy, and a lot of stuff. Like,
that's awesome.
And I forget how much it was. It was a lot of stuff that he had sharpened, including all of my knives. And it was like $100 or something. It wasn't
really that's bad. Not bad.
But we're talking about a lot of stuff. Like,
right. Especially when you think of like, instead of having that done, going and replacing everything
well, the house
that he sharpened for you.
An antique, because they don't make them anymore, probably. One of those push mowers. And
oh my God, I love those things.
Like, he just like, give it to me. I'll just put it as part of the mix, you know.
Wow.
We don't use it, though, because it's too much, too hard.
It's a nice idea. I like them. I think they're cool. But yeah, they're a pain in the ass.
Yeah. So where do you store your knives? In a block?
In a block.
So you don't store them above your bed?
I definitely don't.
Okay. Because that's where Catherine stored her knives.
That is where she stored her knives.
I wouldn't even be comfortable with them hanging over my head.
Nope, me neither.
But that's where Catherine would store them. But yeah, she definitely got into the deboning room, and she was working really hard. She became very highly skilled with knives. And
yes, she did.
Yeah, but so this brings us to like a history of her. Like, One of the things that stands out, I think a lot of people go right to, is that she was clearly, and I'm not going to say it in a way that's being funny, because I think that it's a genuine situation here. She was a pure nymphomaniac.
And, yes.
And I think that it was, the people are like, oh, I wish I had that problem. But
no, you don't.
But this person, it was to the point where she was trying to cover up something. I mean,
well, this here's woman the thing.
Had some trauma that she was trying to get away with by, you know, fucking some guy.
Yep. And here's
pardon kind my of French. Where
I, that's okay. Please.
Because I do sympathize with some of this. I
do too, because when she was younger, her father would literally rape her mother like 10 times a day. That's fucked up. Excuse my French.
I mean, in all seriousness, like, as a man, 10 times, I mean,
I know.
He's not. What I think it is like a BDSM type of thing where he's not finishing 10 times. I don't know if it's
possible. Probably not,
but it's almost like he's having these open BDSM sessions where he's like, you know, beating the shit out of mom, and it's scary. And it's,
that violent. Shit is scary. Yeah.
It's scary and violent. Kid. And when it's, you know, I mean, look, if this is your thing and it's consensual, go for it. I don't care.
Like, right, exactly.
I'm not judging, but if it's non-consensual, that's right. Rape, you know?
Yeah, if you're doing it against her will in front of your children, now, that's a problem for me.
I mean, is he just openly doing it? Like, is he getting off on the kids being there?
I don't know. I wasn't really able to, like, dig deep into this particular thing. Maybe I didn't want to, but that, no
pun intended.
Yeah, no pun. But yeah, it was at least they could hear things.
And that's not cool. Like having.
Not cool.
So when we get into the whole child involvement or hearing it, it gets a little bit scarier because it's.
It really does.
You know, we talked about this just the other night when we have another podcast, Amy. Do you know that?
We do. Yes. I did know that. I just found out.
Because when the wife isn't guilty, sometimes
the husband did it.
The husband did it. And that's the name of the show. The husband did it. And people should head on over to the husbanddidit.com. And also just look for us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast and give us a 5-star review. We have a lot of stuff we're working on and we really would appreciate that. Word of mouth too, that's
for awesome. Sure.
But we were talking about the case of what were we talking about the other
day? David Hendricks.
Yeah, David Hendricks. And there are some similarities with the abuse of the David Hendricks case.
You know what's so weird about that case and this case?
What?
So, there was a David and there was a John. In this case, there's two Davids and two Johns.
Oh my God.
I know. Yeah. I was like, wow.
But yeah, people should go check that out. That's a really shocking case about maybe the husband did it. We don't know. Maybe
the husband did it. It could have been the brother-in-law, but.
Yeah. But you know, this is, it's a callback to childhood trauma. That has to like really mess with your head, of course, seeing
it really does.
Or even like, hearing it. Like even if it's just you're hearing it, so you have these mental images going on as to like why is mom screaming.
Right. As a kid, I can say that, or as a former kid, I can say, you know, that the mind is it just comes up with way worse things than are actually going on most of the time. And it's not good.
Now, do you know anything about her drug use? Was there drug use or was it just booze?
So she, as far as I know, didn't do drugs. And she didn't start drinking until she was in her 40s. Mm-hmm. So as far as I know,
Which is really wild, right?
I think that's really crazy.
I think what that is, and this is, you know, slightly personal on my level, but I, you know, having a family with people who have had issues with different substances, I wouldn't try these things until I was older because of the fear.
That's literally exactly what happened to me.
So it becomes one of these things where you, can it follow you? Yeah, it can, you know, and it's one of those things. And I bet you this is exactly with her type of thing. She hit 40 or around 40 and she's like, well, look, I'll have a drink or I'll have a week of drinking. And next thing you know, she's binging and hanging out with the slaughterhouse guys, sharp knives. And that's kind of, but her whole life, she was known as a bully and had a violent temper. Mm-hmm. So I just think that the alcohol really built on that. Some of the incidents that really kind of stand out in terms of her violent temper throughout her life is, she had car repairs related to her first husband, and she threatened to stab the mechanic over them. Wasn't happy. She was, she had a cheating boyfriend and she slit a puppy's throat.
She really did, right in front of him.
Just like, to, quote, scare him?
Yeah, to make a point. Yeah.
And this is the thing that is really kind of nutty, really, really nutty, is she placed her two-month-old daughter on train tracks.
Yep.
And left her.
She was rescued.
By a stranger, though.
Yeah, yeah. And I just, like, she for sure had, like, postpartum psychosis.
I don't know what she, like, I mean, I would say that that is one of
the things. And I think it probably just, like, exacerbated her already, like, not stable state.
And, you know, having nymphomania, I think that would be, like, what she would have. And also, you know, with the abuse of any substance, she would go from toxic relationship to toxic relationships because you're only going to attract people who are really looking for a good time.
Right.
She had four children by the time she met John Price.
Yep.
Pricey.
All right. So her first husband, his name was David Kellett. So she married him at 18. This is so messed up. So on their wedding night, she strangled him for falling asleep after sex three times. And she burned his clothes. She fractured his skull with a freaking frying pan. This was like at a different point.
This is the honeymoon, by the way.
that's, man, I wish I had a honeymoon like that.
Like that's like, you know, that's up there.
That is up
there. It's like Sid Vicious.
Totally.
It's when you hate each other, this is the kind of stuff that happens.
Yeah. And it just doesn't make any sense. Like, why stay together? God.
Because he was able to do it at least three times in one night. I don't know. I look at these people and I'm not going to judge, you know, the way people look. They just don't look like the type of people who could, you know, manage to do this.
I'm totally there with you.
Or I'm sorry, I wouldn't want to be a part of it with them because of
Yep, I got it.
You know what? They're too good looking, in my opinion. Yeah, they're just
totally too good, totally out of our league.
So sexy. And that being said, it's crazy. The whole thing is volatile. It's toxic. It's a lot of.
It's like beyond any toxic relationship I've ever seen.
Now, storybook, right? You take a storybook and you take out all the anger, the puppies being killed, the babies on tracks, all the anger. You could even work in the slaughterhouse if you want. And you can make a love story here, and it's kind of like, wow, they're just very active sexual people.
Right.
But no, it's...
it's very toxic. It's just a lot. And I did hear there's no way to quite prove it, but like it does, like most of the things that I've seen, heard, read, Catherine, when she was young, like before the age of 11, was like sexually abused by like her brothers, her father, things like that. And it did stop when she turned 11. Mm. Again, there's no way to like, you know, verify that. But, you know, even just think about that. And, you know, a lot of people who go through things like sexual abuse, they grow up to kind of be like nymphos.
Mm.
It like it's a shift in your brain, and like, you know, a lot of people like just equate it with love, you know, like they feel like that's necessary.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's the case here, but you know, that does happen. And, you know, most of the wife is guilty cases that we have covered, like these women have had unbelievable, horrible upbringings, like abusive, like, you know, parents in and out of like sanitariums and all that. And, you know, it definitely, you know, kind of sets them up for failure in life.
So I do want to, I just did this quick search about this, and I think, so the Catherine Knight case is, of course, shocking. I think it's really, really shocking.
It
but
is.
We also, the Snowtown murders are extremely shocking. And when you start looking at the times, Snowtown was, the arrest started in middle of 1999. So it really is not that much later.
No.
Where the arrest, where did that come from?
The arrest
happened.
We're in Australia, not Arkansas.
What am I talking about? So I love my Arkansas listeners. I just don't know why it's called Arkansas instead of Arkansas. But that, this is like February, March is when the arrests were happening with Catherine Knight. So in a lot of ways, the media had to have like really bolstered this case, I think.
Oh yeah.
Because you get the Snowtown situation where
I've never heard of that case. So I will look up that case.
It's a series of serial killings involving, I think, four people, and the crimes occurred from 92 to 99. And yeah, basically that's it. You know, not that's it. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of stuff going on,
but like the broad strokes,
they're different kind of crimes. They're different, you know, but it's just that the people were like, wow, the Snowtown thing. And then the Catherine Knight murder, you know, what's going on in Australia? You know, it's,
you know what? It's really funny. You know, I like to listen to, like, when we're going to cover a case, you know, if there's like a documentary or if there's a podcast or whatever, I really came to the conclusion that most of the people who were covering these cases or this case didn't realize what Australia originally was.
Oh, you and mean that's, like, for criminals?
Yeah, like that's where they would just send criminals like to exile. And they're like, what's going on in Australia? How come there's so much? Well, they're descended from criminals.
Yeah, I mean, but that I would say that I don't know when that took place. I know it's a fact. Because do you have the people of Australia who are the Aboriginal people? I know quite a bit about Australia. And so you have the Aboriginal people who are the natives of Australia, who have massive issues, you know, like massive issues. But then, you know, Australia's ruled by Britain. So, right. You know, they...
1788.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure that there are many descendants of criminals in Australia. Right. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it is in direct relation to issues in Australia, because
right,
for all intents and purposes, Australia doesn't really have that many issues.
Yeah, not anymore.
I mean, and this is only 2 decades ago, so
right.
I don't know. I think, I don't know if the criminals were where they were put, but I know that Australia is a very harsh land. And
yeah, it is. Oh man, it's huge. I would never. It's really huge. It is.
But you know, it's a really kind of booming economy now and everything. I don't know. I think that it's the thing that we're using to record this on right now was invented and developed in Australia by the company Rode.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good. So, that being said, there are media kind of growing, and I think there's a lot of fascination with these cases coming out of Australia at this period of time. So
I think in general, like, you know, cause that's around the time, like, Columbine happened, and like, just everyone was, you know, not everyone, like everyone in the news media, just they like grab onto the stuff.
What was the beginning of the modern internet? You know,
that was
another thing that was really a big deal. We also had just passed, you know, Y2K, which was, I know a lot of people are like, Y2K, but it was a tremendous big deal at the time.
It was in terms of, we were terrified.
Well, I mean, I worked in a corporation that, you know, it was taken very seriously, and there were issues that needed to be resolved. And I mean, I don't, you were really terrorized. You were scared, or
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I mean, in August of 2000, I had turned 13. So, you know, I was like, people were just making an incredibly big deal about it, and I was like, well, what the hell is going to happen?
Yeah, I think like just the media, you know, it's, I think the worst thing that was going to happen was, I mean, they definitely had a lot of sensation around Y2K, but it was, of course, overblown.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was the aftermath of Y2K kind of made a lot of people go to the internet. It opened their eyes to the fact that, oh, wow, there's a whole technological world, and sharing information all of a sudden became like a lot easier there. I think throughout the 90s, there were forums and chat groups and stuff like that. But really, it was the early 2000s where it was the huge boom.
Right. Yep.
So I think that was a big part of that. Then 9/11, of course, you know, then I think 9/11 was the launch of the internet, in the modern way. And that was, So, that being said, we have, I mean, the crimes took place. I didn't know this until, I didn't really think about this until just now. Cause, you and I talk a bit about spiritual stuff, and I don't know. Are you into any type of like, numbers? Like, you're a number person?
Oh, you have no idea. So, you have no idea.
So, the murders happened, you know, the main murder, and we have a few other things to discuss completely, but I don't want to forget this, but the main murder took place on February 29th, 2000. So on the leap
Isn't that crazy?
So I have to wonder, like, was that a coincidence? Was Catherine a little bit deeper than we thought?
Could be.
Because she ended up doing it's right up there with Taylor Shabusiness, in my opinion. I don't know if you followed Taylor Shabusiness.
I didn't, but I remember you talking about it.
She decapitated her boyfriend during sex, basically giving him oral while chopping off the head, you know?
Holy hell.
Yeah, this woman is fascinating. That's wow. all I can really say. I follow and then
didn't
her.
She like attack like court
yep.
personnel?
She That's attacked her I attorney know. While she was there's body cam footage of her maybe getting a blood draw. I don't know, but she just attacks right then and there. Jeez. That's just like a month ago. And
yeah, I heard she was back in the news.
It reminds me a lot of some of the cases, but unfortunately they weren't married. And yeah, that's, I choose Taylor Shabusiness over Taylor Swift. That's my,
yeah, you know what? I probably would too, honestly.
So she did have a relationship with Pricey and, basically mm-hmm. Moved in 1995. And she got along kind of well with the children. The kids kind of liked her.
Yeah, at first.
At first.
And like they, she kept like her own either house or apartment or whatever. And like they would kind of go back and forth, you know, living together, not living uh-huh. together. And the day that John Price died, earlier that day, he had gotten an AVO. Against Catherine, which is basically Australia's answer to
like a restraining
order. Order. Right. So
that's because things became increasingly volatile.
Yeah. So and
he didn't want to get married.
And like that sent her over the edge.
Yeah, she took it really personally.
Mm-hmm. And
then he got then she's like, you don't want to marry me? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to call yeah. this job that you've been at for 17 years.
This is so unbelievably.
And I'm going to report that you stole some first aid kits from work.
That were thrown away.
In the dumpster.
Right.
Now, I have to ask, why are you getting fired for this? There has to be more. Is she like, I don't like. You don't get fired from a 17-year-old job for stealing something out of the dumpster unless there's more to this.
I mean, some places have like a strict like code of conduct.
But like it's a that. Minor. It's a he's a minor.
I know. I don't get it. I really don't. Like he took shit out of a dumpster. Like what? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's more to that.
Like, did Catherine
have a relationship with her boss or something? Or
oh god,
like trading yeah. favor for favor?
Right?
Did she threaten the boss? We just
maybe. We,
did she promise steaks for life?
Jesus,
I can see her saying like, hey, "You like prime rib?
Oh god,
you don't like prime rib? Give me a rasher of bacon." it's so. It's my Little House talk right there. Little House on the Prairie, by the way, I just want to point out, is I might introduce a very brief one or two true crime episode because of the information that's come out about one of the spouses of one of the past cast members of Little House on the Prairie, Timothy Busfield, who was who currently has a standing warrant for his arrest. Because of allegations of sexual deviancy and molestation on two twin boys.
What the hell?
That's alleged. I don't know if he's guilty. But it's come out. Like... He has a history of abuse. And there's been no statement. And currently New Mexico has this, an arrest warrant out for him.
Jeez.
Also, there's another person to those Little House fans. This might be two of them. There is Rodimus Pera, who is in a TV show called Kung Fu. And he was also in Little House on the Prairie. And he lives in France. And he was brought up on charges of the same thing for raping a five-year-old girl.
What the hell?
These are charges. These are allegations that right. I'm reading about. I'm reporting on it. I'm not mm-hmm. making the allegation. I'm just repeating it.
Right.
Out of France. And I can't find any information, any more information. So the charges, as far as I know, have not been dropped. And it's just in the court system over there. And knowing France has a lot of things going on right now. So who knows if it's going to be held up for a decade.
Right.
So that's two cases that I might report on Walnut Grove Cast, getting things a little bit more serious.
Totally breaks the world my of Walnut heart. Grove. I love that show.
Walnut Grove. So, sorry, that was my little plug for my other podcast.
All good.
If you do like this banter between us, people should head on over. Like I said before, the husband did it.
Yep.
And while you're there, you may as well subscribe to this one as well.
Absolutely. Wife is
super guilty.
Yep.
Super one day guilty. We have to talk about all the names that we kind of came up with before we chose this one.
Yep.
So yeah, February 29th, leap day, leap night, you know, yep. into mm-hmm. the next day, into March 1st.
Yep.
She kills him.
Right. How did she sends the kids away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could you go and paint us a picture of that night?
All right. So it is leap night, February 29th, 2000.
Yeah.
And she sends his three kids away. I don't know where. She had bought like a sexy little something to, you know, like pique his interest. Yes. And so they had sex and she recorded it on video.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Proof. Yep. Then she waited until he fell asleep and she stabbed him 37 times.
Yeah.
So defensive wounds showed that he did fight back. She dragged his body to, I believe, the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And she literally skinned him. And she did this all in one piece. Now, I'm talking, this is going to get graphic. Like, I'm talking like his penis, his, you know, that whole area. Like,
he's dead
that
at was, this point, though.
He's dead.
Yeah.
But, like, she just skinned him completely, except for this patch of skin on his chest where she had stabbed him before because, like, he didn't want to have sex with her that night or it was something to do with that. But she left that piece of skin on his chest. Yeah, now she took.
That's crazy. That's wild.
It is. Right? She took the, you know, one huge piece of skin and it describes it like a shower curtain.
Mm.
She hung it on a hook.
This is somebody who knows what the hell she's doing.
Exactly. And so then she decapitated him and the medical examiner would say that her decapitation was so precise.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's her job. So then she skinned that, I believe, because before that, like he had his, you know, his hair and stuff still and all that. So she takes his head and she puts it in a pot of vegetables and water.
Wait, can you just do me a favor? Can you scroll all the way down to our notes?
Yep.
And look at what I added this morning. Just kind of.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
You sick bastard.
It's essentially it's a recipe for basically using the description that they gave, a breakdown of what essentially it would look like and everything. Without the head, of course.
Yeah. Sans head.
So I'll post that.
It actually does kind of look good. I was looking at it and I was like, oh, I do love me a good crock pot meal.
I will say you take the head, you take the human flesh out of it.
And it sounds great, right?
Oh, yeah. Squash, cabbage, zucchini, beetroot, yeah, carrots. Stuff. Come on. How could you go wrong?
You can.
Well, you can. You put a head in there.
Well, yeah.
That's
as long as you keep that shit out of there. Yeah.
Like, well, how do I ruin this? Well, let me
basically
tell you.
So she hung it on a hook and I'm sure to like, you know, dry it out, whatever.
Well, I'm
like,
surprised.
This is some Texas Chainsaw Massacre shit.
So this is a little bit creepy. I've done tanning, where, you know, you tan a hide.
Yeah.
So you have to stretch it, and you use like the sweet bread to the brain to break it down. It's very dangerous. And it, you would stretch it. So I don't know what she was doing, where she just hung it on a hook.
I don't either.
I feel like it was all for food. I really do.
I do too. So after that, she starts slicing at his bum cheeks, and she makes some steaks out of them. She bakes them in the oven with other vegetables, and she makes three plates. Yeah. She makes two for the two kids that were going to be coming back. She, like, made place cards out of paper towels with their name on it.
Yeah.
And then she took the third plate and put it outside for the dog, who never went near it.
Really?
I didn't. Yeah. Yep. Never went near it. And,
well, I think the dog was probably afraid of her.
Oh, God, yeah. You know how they are. They're such great, you know, judges of character.
I wonder why the dog wouldn't go near it. I mean, seriously.
He had to have known that it was a human.
Or yeah, why wouldn't a dog eat a human?
I really don't feel this.
I mean, I'm genuinely asking. Like, I don't see why a dog wouldn't eat someone, you know, a person. I feel like if I were to fall asleep and allow my dog to continue licking my arm, he would eventually get to bone.
Yeah, I mean, I just,
I mean, it's possible, like, that he knew it was his owner, and
that's what I was just gonna say.
I just don't think dogs are, I mean, this is where it's gonna piss off people. I don't think dogs are that smart, so.
I do.
Yeah. That smart,
that's
though?
That's me.
You can identify somebody by their meat?
Yep. Yeah, I do.
He took a lick, then. He had to have taken a lick.
Maybe. That's funny. Kind of.
There's no funniness. That's funny. For us, it's funny. For them, it's just awful.
It is. I can't even believe.
I just believe that a dog would eat it. That's all. I see the way my dogs eat. They don't even taste stuff. It's like, rah, 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 rah. And they're little poodles, you know?
Oh, my God.
But, you know, if you just put a big hunk of something, they'll be like, all right, this is too much.
Sometimes. Like, there was a case. This is so freaking sad, but there was a case. It was on Homicide Hunter. I love me some Joe Kenda.
Yeah, that's a show that you've suggested in the past.
Oh, my God. I love that show. Yeah. I love it. You'd like it, too, because he's funny. But it was about this mother and daughter who were like going to a casino in Colorado, and they were like taking Zoloft for fun.
Well, as one does.
I just don't really get it, but they were also partaking in alcohol. Zoloft is an SSRI, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, antidepressant.
I thought Zoloft was
Xanax.
I thought it was like an allergy pill or something.
Oh no, that's Zyrtec.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many names.
I know. Yeah,
drugs to follow. That it's just one of those things where I can just picture. It's like. Right. Getting high on the fact that you can breathe really well.
Yeah. So this was like the first like major
I've heard
antidepressant
of it.
That was out there. Like it's one of those other big than ones. Prozac. Yeah. It was like the really sad like ball. It was like animated in the commercial, and like he was just so sad, and he would just like hop around, and then he starts taking Zoloft and he's super happy. Da, 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 da.
And if you take three and have some vodka with it, you could probably feel real happy.
So because of the altitude,
I know this case.
You do. The dog. Oh my God. Dog. There was this ate her face because she went to go take him out, and like they both were super
and they said that it was so high, the elevation was so high or something. Mm-hmm. Or
yep, that it like exacerbated their symptoms. So like they were totally disoriented. Like the mom stayed
Yeah,
that's in the car, and the daughter took the dog for a walk, and because he was on a leash and he couldn't get away, like he like was about to starve to death, and like he literally didn't touch her until like he knew,
yeah,
like he needed to eat something.
He's like, "It's my day,"
and it like that.
It's terrible. Oh,
it really is.
I can't believe you said that. So- You know what? I think we say it back and forth. You and I have a lot of like dialogue back and forth, like with notes, and we talk about some very intense things. I might have said it to you. I might have said it with another friend who I share trauma with. So but it's kind of like if we don't laugh, we're going to cry.
Oh, if we don't laugh, we're going to have nervous breakdowns.
So I'm not laughing at anybody that has suffered in any of this. Yeah, it's just
we make little jokes because if we don't, like, we will literally be broadcasting from our local sanitarium.
Like, you could think I'm an asshole, but I'm not laughing because I'm an asshole. I'm laughing because I cannot believe what I'm talking about.
Right.
And I just feel so fortunate to have a platform and to have met you, to have somebody with a similar mindset to discuss these things with, because I feel as though if I came across some of these cases without somebody to throw ideas back and forth, it would really, really impact me in a very serious way.
Yeah, and it's actually happened to me before I got into this. Like, I would just watch true crime, everything, all the time. And I actually remember when I started listening to Unsolved Mysteries Rewind.
Mysteries Rewind.
Oh, my God. And
it was a fun show. They're all being put up on YouTube right now, by the way.
That's awesome.
These will too be as well. I just want to share that with everyone. Yep, if you're listening to this right now on YouTube, please give us a like and a subscribe and click the link below. And you know what? Click. This is what YouTubers always say. I'm not a YouTuber. I don't think I'll ever be a YouTuber. But click the bell to be notified when new episodes are released.
Right. You hit that like and subscribe button. And then the bell, and it'll let you know when we're, you know, doing stuff.
By the way, I always hit in the past I've hit bells, you know, and my bell broke.
Oh no.
Where it still works, like, and that's a pitch. So I went on our favorite website, Temu. I ordered the same exact bell.
I actually literally just got a notification that something from Temu was delivered. Oh,
it's exciting.
And then there's another one out for delivery. I'm like,
do you even know what it is? I do that because it's like a month will go by and it's like,
I know, right? This one is actually a speaker you can mount in your shower.
Oh, nice.
I have
a little suction cup thing.
Yeah, I have like two huge, really nice Bluetooth speakers that like pair with each other.
Nice.
So it's very nice. And I usually will take them into the shower with me. So I can listen to podcasts and stuff. And,
this
is just easier.
So, we used to have the same thing and it died over time. So one of the things I bought, and this is not sponsored by Amazon, unfortunately, is, I got one of the little Echo Dots. You know, I don't want to say the A word because I have one of those over there.
Yeah, don't do that.
And so I put that in there and we had that for years and I don't know, it just crapped out and it was really, I mean, kind of low. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to see how much a new one is, a new Echo. And it was like, you know, because you're a Prime, blah, blah, blah. Today you got it for $15.
Whoa. Like,
holy crap. And it is really loud and is a lot of bass. And I got to say,
I love that.
Yeah. And it works with your voice. And, you know, just I don't want to dismiss the fact that you just bought this Bluetooth speaker. But in the future, if it dies or something like that, just pick up one of these like Echoes, because you don't even have to be a Prime subscriber to use one.
Keith is. So,
well, if that's the case,
when I need something off Amazon,
you can just tell it to play music or it connects to Bluetooth. And, you know, that's it. You know, it's my little thing of the day. Of course, it'll be listening to you when you're pooping.
That's awesome.
You know, hey, you can listen to me when, you know, whenever. But so this is the difference in bells. That's the original.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the new one. I hate it.
Oh, it's a little lower.
Yeah, it's lower. And I'm like messing with it. Can I change the pitch? No, everything's kind of cold soldered. It's garbage. It's trash. trash. So I'm going to try to fix the old one.
Yeah. That sounds like a bell.
But it felt like it's broken. I'll have to be nice to it then.
Yeah.
If you know where if a listener knows where I can find a bell at this tone, please let me know. Now back to the show. So, so let's see. So yeah, John was, his head was taken off of his body and put into a stew pot with vegetables. Yep. They gave a description as pumpkin, potato, zucchini, onion. I mean,
yep.
Bananas. I mean, no, great. There's no bananas in it, but there's it is no bananas.
But it is bananas.
And yeah. As you described, they prepared two plates of with John's rump roast with place cards. I mean, we're getting fancy, right? And a third plate was dumped in the backyard. I'm thinking yep. that's where they knew that the dog wouldn't eat it.
Yep, that's what actually gave her away.
What do you think? What do you think the third plate was about? Did she tried it? Because
I think that I've she heard, probably did, and I've heard probably human flesh. Like the broth.
I mean, have you ever gone down the rabbit hole of human flesh, like reading about it and cannibalism?
I haven't read about it, but I've heard about it.
I've heard the description of the flavor and all of these things. The book Alive, for instance, talks a little bit about it. Good movie, great book. And that's about like the sports team that crashed in maybe the Alps. Or, I don't know where they did. And they had to turn to cannibalism in order to survive. Terrible, terrible.
Yeah.
So, but from what I understand, there's a level of bitterness and people have described it as like bile.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So just, you don't like that.
Oh, noted. God. Nope. Wow, that sounds terrible.
With a mixture of a Taco Bell soft taco.
Oh, God.
So, that being said, it's possible, if that's true, which I don't believe, I'm sorry to say, I don't believe that human flesh tastes that horrible. Not that I want to try it.
Yeah.
I just don't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just me. I think maybe depends on like the human, like what they consume for like food and stuff.
Yeah, just like animals.
Yeah.
You know, if you give carrots to a cow, the milk actually can be slightly orange from the beta carotene.
That's so cool.
It is kind of cool. So let's see. The police. So you said that the third plate basically gave her away.
Yeah.
How?
Because it wasn't consumed. She just ended up throwing the other two plates away.
Mm-hmm.
But like she left the third plate outside for some reason.
Right.
Whatever. And that's what they found. They found, you know, his freaking head in the stew pot.
But what was the reason why the police showed up in the first place?
Because I forgot who called.
Yeah, I'm literally asking because I forgot.
Here's kind of what happened after this all happened. She went to an ATM and took $1,000 out of Pricey's bank account. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she did use it for the pills that she ended up taking. I don't know what it was used for.
It was a welfare check, apparently.
It was, yeah. So she goes home, she takes a whole bunch of pills, and I don't know if she called in for the welfare check and then, you know, passed out. So when they got there, they found her, like, you know, unconscious, and she had taken pills and whatnot.
No, she didn't. So it's also important to point out that she didn't take enough pills to be lethal. She just took enough to knock herself out, which is probably enough to kill you and me.
Right. And then she like just feigned amnesia. Yeah. Like she's like, the last thing I remember, we had sex and then I don't know what happened and, you know, whatever. But So the police got there and they checked the scene, and they literally described it as a vision from hell. Like, there were, you know, so many police that, you know, they needed to see a therapist. There were cops that couldn't be on homicide anymore. There were cops that literally didn't eat meat for months.
But you know how good that was when they went back to it?
No kidding.
I'm a big meat eater. I love meat.
I am too.
But it's really crazy. In our notes, we have a picture or two of what the house looked like on the inside and the outside. You know, the last case that you and I talked about with the David
Hendricks.
Hendricks. How come I can't remember his name? So Hendricks, we talked a bit about the case where four people were murdered with an axe and a knife. And she did it in a similar way with a sharper knife,
Oh, yeah.
And a lot more skill.
But they even said that she stopped skinning him to sharpen her knives again.
David or John did not, or some or third party did not skin anyone alive, but they did, you know, drill an axe into the sun. So
that was awful.
But you see the amount of blood that exists in the Aberdeen house, in Catherine's house, and you have to wonder the scene, what the scene looked like with the Hendricks house. It's just, it's so nutty to me. It's so upsetting. And you just have to wonder, how do you not get that all over yourself?
I don't know.
You don't?
I mean,
why I had to be a third person in the Hendricks
case. You know, like, you know, Tyvek suits only go so far.
I have three of them.
I don't know. Oh my God, that would be crazy.
But in that case, we do have John. We can't. It's a whole thing. But he did have the bloody
scrubs on. Yes, that was so stupid.
Now, all right. So the police come, and I would imagine the police walk into, like you said, like a scene from hell, and there's a pot on the stove. It's not cooking anymore, but it's still warm. Don't open the pot. That's what your head is saying. Don't open the pot. But you know you got it, right?
I know.
I watched a body cam. You know, I'm obsessed with these things.
I know.
We got, you know, I was thinking we should do like, I want to put an episode together of body cam and show it with you for reaction.
All right.
And Keith is going to get pissed at me about it because he's going to be like, why'd you get my wife addicted to body cam?
Nah, he doesn't care.
If Keith is listening, how you doing, Keith? Keith is our technical supervisor. He's our IT department.
And my husband.
And your husband, years. Of course, yeah. So, yeah, that being said, they pulled over a car in the body cam. This guy just driving a truck with a flatbed, and he smashes into a truck, like just randomly, and the truck's like, what the hell? And the guy gets out of the car and runs. Right. Fingerprints, everything, you know. And the police come and they're like, what the hell? Like, what happened here? So, you know, the truck's stopped, you know, it's been in an accident, and everything is just like the truck driver's saying, what happened? The guy ran off. And the police officer's just walking around, he sees body cam footage. He goes to the back of the flatbed, puts the tailgate down, and he sees something in there, and he goes, please don't be a dead body. Please don't be a dead body.
Oh, God.
And he pulls it out, and he just goes, holy shit. You just hear him call, like, somebody. He's like, can I get two lieutenants as a code, you know, whatever.
Oh,
and he's like, I was fucking kidding. He's like, I was just, you know. Wow. But ends up being a 66-year-old woman who's strangled to death by the younger guy who ran off.
Oh, no.
Yeah, crazy. That's a whole other case. People are
so crazy.
Crazy. But yeah, maybe in the future we can figure out something like that. Maybe a mini-sode of Amy responding, reacting to body cam footage would be kind of funny.
That would be kind of funny.
So that being said, we have you know, like, what do they do with it all? It's a biohazard, right? It's kind of like the entire house needs to be processed.
Yep.
The amount of blood that must have come out of this poor guy's body and the flesh. I know. The vision of it.
Said it was like the pool of blood was like 3 feet by 5 feet. Like wide, long.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was crazy. And like, you know, this, you got like 9 pints in the human body, I want to say.
I mean, that's a lot. I mean,
it is a lot. Yeah.
And it's like ink, you know, if you think about it, think of it like black ink.
Yep.
So yeah, she claimed amnesia. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long she tried to do that. But I think she probably started getting like a nicotine fit, and then it was like, all right, I did it.
Right.
Just give me a cigarette. But she was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder.
Which I think this is bullshit, and I'll tell you why. Borderline personality disorder is, I mean, in really severe cases, like it can get violent.
Right.
Not this violent. This is something totally different.
Yeah, like, this is not a different personality. This isn't
right.
Borderline, this is nothing borderline about
disorder.
This.
Right. Like, borderline personality disorder is for people, usually women, mm-hmm. who have had like a traumatic upbringing, and they have like abandonment issues, and like they will literally do anything to stop the threat of abandonment that they see. And
you know what I think that was? I think that diagnosis was politically driven. I feel as though because of the Snowtown events, mm-hmm. we have the media that like, yeah, another one, mm-hmm. You know, Australia's a capital of murder, you know, and it's like, we have to get ahead of this. Right. You know, people like Amy are going to say like, we're all criminals. So
I'm just saying that's what it was for one time.
I know, I'm teasing.
But like the psychiatrists were like, no psychosis. How can you even say that? This is the most psychotic thing I've ever seen.
I think they were playing it down. They're like, no, she was just, it wasn't, we're going to fix this. She's going to be like, you know, a nun, you know.
I don't know.
It's bananas. It's not fair. And it's not fair to the victim.
Right.
Victims.
Yep. And oh my God, she was in prison and her fellow inmates called her Nana.
Mm.
And I'm just like, why?
Because she's one of the few people, not even few, she's one of the people you hear about very often who does better in incarceration than in the real world.
Yeah. You're probably right.
You know, this reminds me of another thing that I ran down. And this is a little rabbit holey, but I'm just going to bring it up. Everybody can go and look it up. And it's another thing that maybe we should react to. And that's, prison TikTok. So
what?
Yeah. Prison TikTok. So in the United States, you're not allowed to have a phone, you know, you're not allowed to have a camera. You're not allowed to have access to the internet. As far as I know, I mean, I don't think on a one-to-one basis.
Do like let you like email and stuff like that,
and it depends. It depends on
where it is. I know that is not a thing here,
but like a maximum security. I don't know the details of the people making these TikToks, but there are a lot of them out there, and they're basically cooking videos.
Oh my God! And
it is crazy. People. I mean, it's very creative, and I love our criminal listeners. I love our I love our incarcerated listeners. Mm-hmm. If they're listening right now, because they very well could be. That being said, these people are being very creative in terms of, and they have access to electrical outlets. It's like, it's a lot of weird stuff. And at first I'm like, this is fake. And then I went down the rabbit hole. It is not fake. People make hot plates. They have like a little metal thing, and they plug it in, and they have this little thing that they've made, and they use an empty soda can to like brace it or do something. And probably if you touch it, you get electrocuted.
Probably. But
they cook it, and the guy's like making quesadillas and selling them to inmates.
Quesadillas.
Right. But he's, I mean, and it doesn't look so bad. And it's like, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah.
And the guy shows how much money he has. He's like, this is my Cash App deposit and everything. And the guy's not, you know, killing anybody. So I'm amazed at the ingenuity, but this guy is living a better life inside than he would on the outside.
Yep. For real.
So, you know, and you know what they use instead of butter or like oil?
What?
Mayonnaise.
You know what's funny about
that? And it's like the new thing.
So, okay, when I first met Keith, he made a grilled cheese sandwich, and I almost slapped him in the face.
I heard it's the best way to make a grilled cheese. Is this true?
It is so true. You have no idea. Like, you can't use, like, light mayonnaise. You have to use the full-fat mayonnaise.
I don't eat bread, but I'm going to make my son one today with mayonnaise. But I'm not going to tell him. He hates mayonnaise.
Because he did that to my sister.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like mayonnaise. And she was like, this is the best grilled cheese I've ever had.
American cheese?
Whatever you want.
All right. Does it matter? I mean, is that what's going to complement the...
I would say yes. Just because of the meltiness.
I make my own mayonnaise. Nice
melty cheese. Do you really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I make my own mayonnaise. So... it's very easy. It's very simple. Mm-hmm. All you need is an immersion blender, like a hand thing. And
and egg yolks, right? And
one egg yolk. I think the last, I haven't made it in a while, but I made avocado mayonnaise. And you put like a drop or two of lemon, put whatever else you want. You want garlic mayonnaise, you do that. You put like chipotle. I don't know. But that's prison TikTok. I'm going to try this. I'm going to report back. But
you should. But the way to make the best grilled cheese, it's a diner trick. That's how Keith learned it.
Interesting.
And he slapped some mayo on the outsides of the bread, and I freaking swear to God.
So he just gives it a light, like, schmear?
Yep.
No
butter.
Interesting. All right, I'm going to report back to this.
It's perfectly crispy, like... and like it's gooey inside, you don't
put it
on the inside.
It's a positive way to say the husband did it.
Yes, the husband done turned me on to the mayo grilled cheese.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is indeed history.
So I do want to mention, I looked up February 29th, 2000, mm-hmm. Just to see, like, is there any kind of spiritual connection? And there's not anything direct. But overall, it's considered a spiritually charged, a powerhouse day for awakening, intuition, and positive transformation.
I believe that.
There's something called a master number energy associated to it.
Yep.
It's the number 11.
Yep.
And it combined with the millennial leap year context, the date should hold a very powerful meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she was attracted to that unconsciously or subconsciously.
Yeah.
I don't know. I believe that there's no coincidences. And killing somebody on leap night, I don't know. Can we say that that's an accident?
No. I don't believe in accidents and coincidences. No. I believe like hardcore in like the cosmic side effects that we experience. Like, you know, when there's a new moon, when there's a full moon, I know. Before I even look it up, I'm like, something's up. And then I'll look and it'll be like a full moon, a new moon. Mercury is in retrograde. And I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. Now I know why, like, I don't feel right.
Yeah.
And everybody can call me crazy, but I'm a very sensitive person when it comes to that stuff. Yeah, and
I'm heavily impacted by Mercury being in retrograde.
Same. This last Mercury in retrograde, man, I was like done. It was rough.
When is the next?
It's probably not too far off.
Now, this is going to be another little side thing that I did in the past with somebody on a podcast, and we should look into this. Past lives.
Oh, I've done past life regressions.
Yeah, like I have as well, and I've been... one person I thought like, all right, you know what? I like you. You're like, I kind of believe where you're going with this, but the other person, I just felt like it was bullshit.
Yeah. The first one I ever did, oh, it was so sad. It was like Little House on the Prairie era, right? Yeah. And I had small children and I was pregnant and my husband had died. And I was all alone. Mm. And like...
That is an episode of Little House on the Prairie.
That's crazy.
No, not literally. I'm not saying you stole it. But like,
I definitely didn't steal
no,
it.
No, no, no. I'm not saying...
And like, you know, my babies were crying and like I was just super struggling. Like I had nobody and like it was a group event and like we're all going around saying like, oh, what'd you see? And I'm like bawling my freaking eyes out. And I was pregnant at the time. Right. And I was like, maybe this was a bad idea. Anyway, the next Mercury retrograde is February 26th, March 20th.
Almost in line with... The anniversary for this murder.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I will feel
was Mercury in retrograde during
2 weeks before, 2 weeks after. I'm like usually still screwed up.
But I'm just going to do this really quickly. Was Mercury
In retrograde February 29th, 2000?
Mm-hmm. I'll know in just a moment. I should have a computer sound.
You should.
I pay for Grok. And it's like, it's under heavy usage. It's like, well, I'm paying for it.
But... Dude, they want like $300 for like the crazy thing.
No,
I figured not, but I was like, you want $300 for what? Apparently AI can do some great shit.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, it is Elon Musk's, so, you know.
Yes, Mercury was in retrograde.
Shut the front door. Yeah,
during the... let's see. From between February 21st of 2000 to March 14th, 2000.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Wow.
That's a big deal to me. And
that's a big deal to me too. And I felt like the answer was going to be yes anyway.
I thought it would be no.
That's
because it's never in line. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So there you go. Eight days into a leap year, a leap day. I mean, wow. I'm ready to go into it saying, did Catherine Knight have a psychic person who told her to do this stuff? Jeez.
Maybe it was the dog that gave her the orders to kill. I've been on a Wicked Son of Sam kick. Yeah, I can't even.
I was about to say, I'm like, that sounds in line with.
That's why I said it.
So Catherine Knight had four children. We know Melissa Ann was born in 1976. Natasha Marie spells Marie in a cooler way. M-A-R-E-E.
That's pretty cool.
March 1980. Now, those two were fathered by David Collette.
Yes.
Sarah, born in 1988, was another David Saunders.
David Saunders.
Yeah. And then Eric, we're not really sure. He was born either 91 or 92.
I think he belongs to John Chillingworth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she didn't have any kids with John Price.
No, but he did have two older children. And I just have nicknames for them. Beck and Little John.
I love Little John. That's great.
Yeah. So I hope that there's no reports of them. I wouldn't report it anyway. But just she's alive right now, though.
She's still alive.
And I bring up prison TikTok because, you know, if this gets to her and she wants to talk about it. They're
never going to let her in the kitchen.
Well, no, this isn't in the kitchen. These people are cooking in their cells.
Oh, okay.
I got to send you the link. It's
good. Yeah, that's kind of funny.
It's out there. It's really
shocking. I really am super impressed by things that people can accomplish in prison that like I can't even do on the outside.
You mean like get a master's degree for free?
Yeah, don't
even
with me. Jeez.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, oh, well.
Because I do want to get a master's degree.
You will. You'll get one.
I know.
And you know what? One of the ways of helping Amy get a master's degree is to, by supporting this podcast.
That's true.
What a great segue. You can head on over to buymeacoffee.com/ourpodcast. You can also go to Patreon, which is probably the easiest and most popular way.
Yeah, Patreon is pretty cool.
And I'll put a link to it in the show notes. I really have to get it in my head what that URL is. But it will be in the beginning and the end of each episode. Anyway.
The spouse did it.
Say it again.
Sure. The spouse did it.
Is it the spouse? I don't want to give out the wrong one.
I'm almost positive.
Almost. As people support the wrong show.
I know. Jeez. I think that's the title of it, like when you click on it. But you shared it with me like a while back and my head has just been
I don't want to put it out there until what I'm going
to
do is
don't listen to anything that I just said.
Yeah, what it'll be in the beginning and the end of this episode, and we do appreciate your support. Support of course goes right into the podcast for upgrades and all types of good stuff,
all kinds of fun stuff that we're talking about and bringing to fruition, you know, cool stuff for, you know, people who do support us through Patreon and things like that. You know, we're coming up with some good ideas, you know, and if you have any ideas or anything that you'd like, definitely Mark or Amy at thewifeisguilty.com or thehusbanddidit.com.
Yeah, if you have a case idea, definitely have us.
We would love to hear from you.
Now, if you're part of a case,
that would be amazing.
More interesting. Now, if you're thinking about killing your spouse, don't reach out
to us. Don't do it. Yeah, don't do it. We're not here for that.
You can reach out to us and we'll help you get the help that you need. We'll do our best anyway.
Well, yeah, that is my other job.
The other thing is, you know, if you're thinking about leaving your spouse, this is more focused towards the women, but if a female's out there and she's thinking about leaving her husband, I would say also in same sex couples, if a guy's thinking about leaving his husband, be careful. Let people know. Be open about this.
Tell everybody. And also, if you are a victim of domestic violence, there's a thing that you can do. You can go to your local emergency room. And you can tell them that you are a victim of domestic violence and they have to house you at the hospital until, you know, you can find a place, until, you know, maybe you go to like a, you know, a battered women's shelter or whatever. But you have a place to go. Mm-hmm. Go to your local hospital, tell them your story. They can help you. Because like everybody says, and it's so true, the time when most of the time it's a woman leaving her, you know, husband, boyfriend, whatever, that is the most dangerous point in her life.
Yeah.
Because so many women and men too.
I just thought of
that's when they die.
I just thought one of the scariest things in my head, and this is going to have this humor associated to this is most things.
Okay, well, that's say. Good.
But it's almost like, and this is a very serious thing, but at the same time, it'll definitely get a chuckle. Get to him before he gets to you.
Yes.
You know, the law's on your side. Mostly. We've heard terrible things, but that being said, there are things you can do. And people know is one of those things.
Yeah, don't, you know, suffer in silence. Don't be embarrassed.
Don't become a statistic.
Yes, don't become. Well, become the better statistic.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, of getting out of a horrible relationship safely and going on and living a fabulous life like you deserve.
We have to in the future. Going back to the case a little bit, we have to like find out if Mercury was in retrograde for a number of these cases.
That I literally am so here for that.
Because while I don't think that it was the main reason, I think that there's some. And it's shocking. That's crazy. All right.
It is.
So Catherine is currently incarcerated.
She will never get out.
Maybe. I mean, that's the thing with Australia. Australia is extremely, extremely liberal and open to these.
Well, they literally wrote on her case file, never release.
Yeah. Australian politics, I believe. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's an interesting place.
Yeah. Well, hopefully she does never, ever get released.
She's not that old right now. I mean, in the big scheme of things, she's 69.
55, right? Yeah.
She's currently 69 years old-ish, or maybe 70.
70, because this is so fucked up how I know this. Billy Idol's birthday is November 30th, 55. My grandfather's birthday was November 30th, 35. So I know that Billy Idol right now is 70, so she is also 70.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
So yeah, hopefully she doesn't get to see the light of day. Again, I think she's doing better in there than she is doing out here.
Yeah.
And
I think so too.
I hope that she regrets her actions and the permanent trauma that she's put her children through and the people and associated to her children
And everybody else. Yeah.
And all these other people and this poor puppy and this terrible thing.
Oh my God. Like that is like
unforgivable.
I can't. Nope. You hurt animals. That it's a wrap.
I don't think they're smart, but they don't deserve to like get their throats slit. Nothing does. Unless they're food, I guess. Yeah.
I guess
it's a whole koshering rabbit hole you can go down about slitting your throat.
I mean, in Korea they eat dog.
Yeah, well, I don't know about it in Korea.
They did because my uncle was there serving. He was my great uncle, so you know. When everyone was in Korea, and he made friends with a Korean family, and he thought they kept saying duck. He was eating dog.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Sure was in Cambodia, or...
I swear to God, it was Korea. Yep.
I believe it. I mean, and that's another thing is people eat. You know, people have to eat.
Yep.
I don't judge
people. I just think it's interesting. You know what I mean? Because, like, things that we would never think of are delicacies.
People have pet pigs, you know.
I would love a pet pig. I used to have a pet goat.
I'd love a plate of bacon, you know. I want to have chickens, you know, when I decide to finally get out of New York, I do want to have chickens. And, you know, at some point you have to cull your herd. Yep. So,
yeah.
Or flock, I think it's chickens or flock. I don't really know.
I don't know either.
But maybe I shouldn't have chickens until I know what they're called. I just want fresh eggs. So
those are the best.
Yeah. That's,
so good. Like I live near farming communities.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I kind of grew up in one. So yeah, we had a lot of fresh eggs and like people just give them to you for free because they just have so damn many.
Mm.
So, and they're so good. They're like creamier. It's weird. They're just so damn good.
They're great. Whenever I can get a fresh egg, I do tend to, do it. Now, I just found the address of where this happened in Australia. So I am just bringing it up. The house is, I'll find out in just a second if it is for sale. It just sold.
Whoa.
It's 84. I'm gonna give the address because it's pretty public knowledge.
Yeah.
84. I don't know if it's 84th Street or 84 St. Andrews, but it's 84.
It's St. Andrews.
Yeah, it's probably 84 St. Andrews Street.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Aberdeen.
New South Wales.
Yeah, New South Wales 2336 is the zip. Just sold for $285,000. On September 26th, 2025.
The day after my mom's birthday.
Oh, was that Mercury in retrograde?
I think I look at
dates and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
There are a few photos of the outside of the property, but this is where it happened.
Yeah.
So
sad.
Yeah. I'll put a link to this in the show notes so people can see what it looks like. It's not too much to see. But you have to wonder if I don't know if Australia has to disclose whether a murder happened in a particular place.
Yeah, I think everybody should have to, no matter where it is. Like if, you know, there was a murder there, if there, you know, someone committed suicide there, if it's haunted.
And that, of course, is a situation I was in my last house. Is that
haunted?
No, a killing had or death had occurred in the garage.
Oh,
that was very publicized. That was not disclosed to me at first.
Then
I found out
that.
And I negotiated the price down. The house is still there. A young girl basically overdosed on heroin in the base in the garage, and they tried to kind of cover it up.
I think that's so messed up. People deserve to know. Yeah. You know,
pretty like girl, sad, young.
Death. That is sad.
But a lot of weird stuff happened in that house. We'll talk about that maybe in the future.
Yeah.
But Amy, I want to thank you so much for all the work that you've done in this episode. Do appreciate it.
You too.
People have to go check out us on our websites, which is The Wife is Guilty or The Husband Did It. Check them out. They're sister, their husband and wife podcast, but they're not married. That's right. To be the tagline. Like, I don't know. Eventually people will realize.
Yeah,
people
talk about Keith enough.
Yeah, it's like, oh, they have some weird poly marriage. But
nope.
Nope.
We're in different states.
Yeah.
We have different spouses.
Generations apart.
Yeah, that's true.
I could be your grandpa.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't even be my dad. You're not that old.
No, not yet. I will be. Eventually I'll be older.
Yeah, but so will I.
Nah. Not getting older.
As great as that would be.
Yeah. But Amy, thank you so much. I do look forward to the next one. Thank you.